Hey everybody, welcome to the podcast. We are still in Alabama, had a lot of really awesome actions. We're going to have a bunch of cool content up on the YouTube channel. Hoping everybody out there is dealing with the madness of the coronavirus well. We know it's affecting a lot of people and it's something we're looking forward to seeing an end to. We're taking a lot of precautions as well. We talked about that a lot in the last podcast, but we're basically not seeing anybody except for the people that are inside of our camp, and that's the best that we feel like we can do. Today on the podcast, Aaron and Greg are going to be talking with Travis Sumner. Travis works for the National Wild Turkey Federation, and on this podcast, Travis is going to be talking about how to become a better mentor. Getting new people involved in hunting and keeping them involved in the sport is going to be really important for the future of hunting. Across the country, a lot of license sales are down, and that's a problem because if there's no money to support wildlife and conservation, then those things could potentially go away in the future. So getting people involved in hunting is super important. Before we get into the podcast, I'm going to go through the promo codes quick. We really appreciate all the support whenever you guys use these promo codes. That helps us out a lot, and we appreciate the support on the podcast, the YouTube channel, social media pages, and using our promo codes. If you want to save 10% off Woodhaven custom calls, you can use the code THP2018. If you want to save 20% off the Onyx Hunt app, you can use the code THP. If you want to save 10% off of Exodus trail cameras, you can use the code THP10. To save 15% off of Trophy Ridge products, you can use the code THP15. And finally, if you want to save 20% off of Vortex apparel, you can use the code THP20. Another thing you might check out is we got turkey totes for sale. Those are new. Those are on the website. I wasn't wanting to use one. Ted was making fun of me, and I kind of gave in, took it the other day. It was a heck of a lot better using that thing than just throwing the turkey over my shoulder. So check them out if you're interested. Thanks for listening to this podcast.
Welcome back to the podcast, guys. It's Aaron at the Hunting Public and Greg at the Hunting Public. We're here with our friend Travis Sumner from the NWTF, and we're at the NWTF convention here in Nashville, boys. It's big goings on. We got us a quiet room in here to talk for a while, but I can assure you it ain't quiet out there.
Man, no, it's turkey calls, duck calls, anything you could think about hunting, it's here, that's for sure.
We're going to be hearing it in our sleep for weeks, which is all right, because turkey season will be here before you know it.
That's right.
Yep. So, Travis, you and I know each other. We've worked together in the past a little bit, but I want you to tell the listeners about what all you're doing with the Turkey Federation. Now, you've been working for them now for quite some time.
Been there now for about 5 years. You know, yep. I've made a career out of working in the wildlife business, even, you know, from state agency, Department of Natural Resources, private side, you know, working with folks on how to manage their property. So they've got, you know, good timber, good wildlife management. And then, of course, you know, in the industry, you know, still hanging in there with Mossy Oak and some of the other folks. And I guess when I came to the Federation, it kind of came full circle. So I get to apply everything that I've done now and sharing that with folks. But been there about 5 years now. So managing the Hunting Heritage Center that we have out back, that's 707 acres of nothing but outdoor education and shooting sports. You know, we have the Palmetto Shooting Complex that's there. I came on to manage the property there and make it look like a good pristine habitat. And then other than, you know, that part, then it shifted gears. And now I'm working a lot with our hunting heritage programs, and I'm over our mentored hunts, learn to hunt, landowner workshops, mentor, I'll say training or getting mentors prepared to go out and hunt with new hunters. And developed a program there and kind of built us a base. So I kind of wear many hats, yeah. I guess you could say.
You were wearing many hats years ago when me and Vance came down.
That's right.
We've walked through those properties. But, yeah, that's kind of what I wanted to talk to you about, or one of the things. I mean, we could sit here and talk turkey habitat all day, and there's probably nobody that knows more than him. I mean, it's pretty crazy that the knowledge he has with that and the experience. But I want to start off talking about mentor stuff and just hunter recruitment and retention and how we keep people and entice people to come. I mean, we were just talking about before the podcast how you are giving a seminar about
– Seminar tomorrow. Yep. It's and again, on what it takes to put an actual hunt on. You know, people don't understand the work that goes into it just to prepare for a hunt. Mm-hmm.
For a mentored hunt.
Yeah, for a mentored hunt. If you're, you know, if we were going hunting, okay, there's nothing to that. But when you're taking new people that have never done this before, yeah, it takes some planning. And it's not that you do it the week before. It's advanced planning. So tomorrow's seminar is to really, since, you know, at the convention, all of our volunteers, state chapter presidents, everybody's here. And we're encouraging them to get out there and, you know, this new hunter recruitment, R3 movement that we're talking about, folks are need to get involved. So we're hoping our chapters will, but we're hoping that they'll understand how to put on one of these hunts. What's it going to take to do it? And again, you know, I told you it's 6 months in advance to a year planning.
So there's no really go-to source of information out there for how to pull these off, or is there?
Well, you know, at NWTF, we have a resource page. You can go to NWTF.org, and you can pull off the resource page. Hunt 101s for turkey, deer, dove, waterfowl, mentor training, mentor workshops, how to build a mentor program in your neighborhood, how to get a group of guys together. This one tomorrow, this is strategies for putting on a mentored hunt. We're going to put that. I was asked yesterday, I'll have to get back and get with Brian Godfrey and look at putting a YouTube video together on how to.
Yep.
You know, we do how-tos all the time about how to plant chufa, how to plant clover, how to burn. Now we've got to go this direction on, you know, how to put these hunts on.
Yeah. How do you do that in a community setting? Like if I'm in my subdivision and I know there's a bunch of kids down the street and I want to, or whoever, adults, whatever, you know, how do I get their families involved?
You know, we keep talking about kids and families and, you know, NWTF is for years has always been about our youth, our Jake's program, our Women in the Outdoors, our Wheeling programs. And we've had those forever. And we still monitor and help those groups out and have hunts. Just to step back before I really step into how we're going to do this, you know, now if you look across the nation and, you know, you guys and I hunt, but state by state, this R3 movement, which is recruitment, retention, reactivation of hunters. So is we're looking at hunter numbers are starting to fall. You know, the hunting license sales are down. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no money out there. You know, and if we don't have money to support the resource, what are we going to do? There's nothing there. So this movement started, and we started looking at different groups outside of our normal realm of the youth, the women, Wheeling folks, and we started looking at young adults, millennials, college students. We started looking into the young professional groups that were out there. Guys, I mean, all of us, I know we love to put a backstrap on the grill and put an old turkey in the fryer. What we're finding out, this new generation is all about what they eat.
Food.
Food.
Organic food.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Where can you – best place to go shopping is in the woods.
Yep.
And so we started looking at that and ways to motivate these folks to come in. And when we did that, we started with food. We started doing field to fork. I know you guys have heard that. Field
to
plate.
We talked to Cuz yesterday. QDMA is all about that.
All about that. Yeah. You know, if you – I told somebody if you can feed them something good, usually that stirs their motion to get going and get out there and hunt. So that's what we started doing. You mentioned youth, and I'll say this. Our youth today is totally different probably, guys, from when we came up. You know, we were outside. You were talking about where you live now. I live kind of in urban Edgefield, but fixing to move into another closer town. And, you know, these kids are all about techno stuff on that phone.
YouTube,
brother.
All the time.
Yeah. And so, you know, we have summer camps at NWTF, and this is something I learned. And you know, the folks we're talking to, this is something to think about. Yeah, I think youth want to get out there in the outdoors because we did a hunting camp, and we had a lot of kids sign up. And then you're in there, and I'm at, you know, I'm going talking about how to call a turkey or call up a flock of ducks. And I asked them, I said, hey, how many of you guys have ever hunted? And one or two raise their hand. How many of you want to hunt? Everybody raised their hand. And I said, well, tell me why you don't get to go hunting. He said, I don't have anybody to take me.
Mm-hmm.
And right there, man, it's like a light bulb goes off, and you think, okay, the parents are not hunters.
Mm-hmm.
So who better to target if our youth are going to come up and go to the parents and target those young adults, young married families with kids, and get them involved in it. So what we've done now, you said it, family, mm-hmm. we bring everybody out there. Oh, yeah, we'll have a Jake's hunt. I got one coming up. Big turkey hunt, it's full. But we target the family. And if you can target the family and get everybody involved, those youth will still have opportunity to go hunting after they leave us.
Right.
And it's all about the retention part. You know,
yeah.
Beyond
recruitment is come a long way in the last 15, 20 years, but you got to keep them. Once you take them out there, then you've got to somehow get them to take the next step and then progress as a hunter from that point forward.
And I've seen it in the past few years, and this has really taken off in probably the last four since I've been there. You know, you get the family involved once they hunt with us on one of our hunts that we've got them out there on. And one thing's great about what we're doing there at NWTF is that we're giving you opportunities to hunt different things. You know, if you come and go on a turkey hunt with us, well, we're going to ask you back to come hunt doves in the early mm-hmm. fall, deer, maybe a waterfowl hunt, squirrel hunt, good old fashioned squirrel hunt. And, you know, we're giving you a choice and letting you try different things. So what we found with families is if we can get everybody involved, then these kids are going to retain this, and that retention part's there that we need. So now we target these young adults. I know we do a lot with college students. Here's what's shocking to me, and I think the general public that's out there that hunts all the time, and we see this, a lot of them think there's not a problem.
Right.
Well, yeah. There is. You need to think about it. We have students from universities come hunt with us. And I'm talking about Clemson University, that's a big forestry and wildlife school.
Mm-hmm.
These students are taking wildlife and forestry, but they don't hunt. And that's, you know, I went to school. That's
eye-opening, though, because they're already interested in the outdoors, essentially,
exactly.
And what we are interested in as hunters.
That's
and
right.
They just don't hunt. They just need to be
pushed in that direction. And, you know, hunting is a big part of conservation. It is a major part of wildlife management. At all of our classes that we teach at NWTF, and, you know, it'd be a learn to hunt class, that, you know, we call it an experience, wild turkey experience, dove hunt experience. It's an experience, you know, experiencing the hunt, being in the outdoors, making friends. And I'll tell them, I'll say, hey, guys, you don't have to have all these degrees behind you. You are a wildlife manager. You are taking part in managing wildlife as a hunter. And you explain that to them, and, you know, that's the first thing. You're a conservationist first, and then I'm a hunter. You know, that's something that's been going around the convention. I don't know if you heard it. I'm a conservationist first, then I'm a hunter.
Yeah.
So going back to putting on a hunt, man, so you see where we are. We have to identify the group first that we want to target, whether it's these college students, for example, or the family. So, well, in advance, that's what we look at, and we go, okay, guys, all right, well, we're going to do a hunt with families, we're going to do a hunt with college students, and then we're going to get the ladies out there. I've got a hunt coming up, just, you know, because I know you got some women listeners out there, female listeners that are thinking, man, I'd love to hunt, but I'm just not sure about it. Well, we're taking ladies that are sporting clay shooters that have never hunted anything. We call it our wing shooting experience, hunt experience. Next Saturday, I'll be in the field with them on a quail hunt. So that we target our groups. Once we target a group, then we're going to decide what we're going to hunt. You know, I think the more you look at hunts, you know, we all deer hunt. Mm-hmm. You know, sitting on a deer stand for a first-time hunter and you don't see anything can be quite boring. So you look at what's interactive. What's the most thing? Turkeys, absolutely.
Yep.
Small game.
Yeah. Sitting in a duck blind, mm-hmm. you know, and doves. So we might put the dove hunt together, and then we kind of set the tone for what we're going to do for the year. Well, once we decide the hunt, where are we going to hunt? And that's another big part of things, and we could – you know, sit here and talk about it all day, is access. Where can these folks go hunt? So, you know, where are we going to plant a dove field? What it takes to put the dove field together? Promoting it, marketing it. You know, we've got a real good group at the Federation with Pete Mueller and PR. And, man, you know, we can say, hey, Pete, we need this. And, boom, it hits the social network.
Mm-hmm.
Which you guys know.
I mean,
social networking now, that's where everybody's at.
That's what we do.
So you're relying on that social networking for to find private landowners that are willing to allow these groups to come hunt?
Absolutely. When I started at the Federation, and we had no mentors there, the mentor program wasn't even started, you know, when Scott was still there and we started talking about this thing, and I said, well, we got 700 acres. Well, 700 acres, it's hard to put a lot of people out there. And if we have dove fields, but not enough to get enough folks involved. I started reaching out to landowners in the local area and really talking to them about where we were, educating them on the decline of hunters and how we need to get people involved. And when, you know, someone asked me yesterday in some of the R3 sessions, well, what do we do? I said, educate them. I mean, explain it to them. If you explain it to them, they're going to offer it up. And that's what happened. We're sitting on about 18 private landowners back in Edgefield that allow us to hunt, turkey hunt, dove hunt. Not only private landowners.
That's real important.
It's partnerships. You know, we have partnerships with the South Carolina Forestry Commission, U.S. Forest Service, that allow us to go out and hunt on their property. And that's what helped us. And but in that social networking, the same thing, guys, landowners, hunters, people wanting to mentor. When you explain and tell the story like we're doing today, I'll get back. Somebody will find me on Facebook or some of my social media, and they'll start, hey, I want more information. What can I do? How can I get involved? And that's kind of where we are. And then, you know, once that ball starts rolling and we advertise, you know, the great thing about a landowner, and I know there's people probably sitting there thinking, well, gosh, you know, I'm a landowner and I want to get involved, but what about the liability?
Right.
That's always a question.
Always.
So if it's an NWTF registered event, we take care of that. We cover the landowner. We cover everybody. So there's nothing to worry about. And I tell all of our folks that help us out, I say, hey, we're taking care of that. And also, when people register with us, and the other important part is we count numbers, and we can keep up with these people through the process. So, you know, we get our groups together, and, you know, we were walking up, and I told you, man, we're filling hunts left and right at NWTF that we've got going on. Well, then, you know, the hunt's planned and the fields are planted. Well, it's okay, where are we getting our guns? Where are we getting camo for these people? And, you know, you want to, of course, partners with NWTF like Mossy Oak, or, you know, be Avian or Zinc Calls, you know, where we're on a turkey hunt. You know, Alps was there for a long time. So we want to make sure they're involved. And, you know, a lot. Last year I was here and I did a seminar across the hallway on the future of hunting. And I think the industry, and we've all worked in it, was not really aware of what was going on.
Yeah, I've got that pulse as well the last couple of years.
And, you know, they needed to be educated. So we put a group of guys, you know, we had Cuz was there, Fred Zink was in there, Matt Moret. We had everybody, Jeremiah Dowding. If you remember him, field of play, had them all sitting at the table. And Jeremiah's in that new realm of the crowd we need to be targeting. And, you know, we made them aware, and, you know, it took off from there. So to supply our hunts, we're reaching out to them, say, hey, we got a new hunter hunt. Oh, yeah, what do you need? Camo. They're willing to pitch in and make an effort. If they can be there to video the hunt, that's great. And so – once that tone's set, you know, we go and we have a mentor meeting. We, you know, what I like to do with our mentors is have them sit down. We meet. We have a little training, a little workshop for them. It's not, it doesn't certify them. You know, people ask, is it certified trans? Well, no, it's just, it makes you aware of your role and the person you're hunting with. And we could do a whole nother podcast on that. And but that is available on our website. You can go in and you can pull that off of there. It's a PowerPoint. There's some video with it. That goes with it. But then, you know, the table's set, you know, and we roll right up to the week of the hunt, you know, and I'm in my office back and forth coordinating, lining up, you know, right up to the day of the hunt. And then the day of the hunt, you know, you're, it's just like if we went on a guided hunt, you know, you're there with vehicles and the things it needs to get them in the field and go hunting. And again, partnerships build this. You know, people say, well, I don't have shotguns, I don't have shells. You know, you got to reach out to folks, and you, again, goes back to like the landowner, educate them.
Yeah, communication and education is huge. And it, you got to do it a little bit differently, I'm sure, for every, you know, different group. Like the Jakes, for example. You got to communicate to them in a different way than you communicate to an adult new hunter.
Absolutely.
Or a family, or even a college student in between there. You know, and that's what we found, like, on, because all our stuff's on YouTube, you know.
Right.
And that's, that communication bridge is just, it looks different for all three.
It does. And that a good point with what you were just talking about, you know, from a mentor side, you want to match mentors with the group you're hunting with. You know, you get a group of young people, you want to match them up with a mentor who's young. Mm-hmm. If you get female hunters, they want female mentors.
Yeah, it's more relatable to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, it's not just a one set my age, you know, the Gen X crowd that's out there trying to make sure and the baby boomers that are trying, I'm telling my age, you guys, trying to make sure this tradition carries on. But that's what we try to do. It's exactly right. We just try to match up everybody, and it makes it a lot easier. So then hopefully after you hunt with these folks, that's the next generation of mentors that will pass it on.
I think if NWTF did something where they followed, like, maybe a group of Jake's kids, and they followed them kind of like through their season and videoed it for YouTube, for example. Because, like we were just talking about that, all these kids are in the phone. Like, they're on YouTube nonstop.
Absolutely.
And Cuz and I were talking about his grandson, Cranky, yesterday, who's 7. And he's filming him all the time. He's got quite the personality, you know, for his age. And I think kids would love that if they could see other kids going through this process.
Absolutely.
and they're actually, you know, the face of that content. I think that could be beneficial.
Yeah, I think there's a niche there, kind of like we fell into the public land niche.
Yeah.
You know, if there's kids that are kind of the faces of these shows.
Yeah, and they're kind of
– the younger crowd can relate to them.
Yeah.
That's right. And, you know, that's a great idea. We did a deal back last spring. Brian Godfrey and I sat down and we were thinking, okay, what can we do here? What can we do to figure out a way to motivate the younger generation? So we looked into reaching out to an outfitter and kind of picked some things from a hunt standpoint. And this is getting to what we were talking about, that how we reach the generation. So what we did, of course, you guys know all of our stuff's on the website.
Oh, yeah.
We don't have a show, and that's where everybody's at. Mm-hmm. So we decided to reach out to an outfitter and say, hey, guys, you know, how would you feel about letting us bring a new hunter out there, video him, and follow the process from that hunt where they're going?
Yep.
You know, and, oh, absolutely. So we went to South Georgia down there, and we took we reached out to an R3 coordinator. If folks don't know who they are, these coordinators are in states. We have a listing of them at NWTF. This is a good way for you to reach out on what can I do to help. And we reached out to him, and he's doing these learn to hunts. And he says, yeah, I've got somebody for you. He says, very unique. And Ashley was a Virginia Tech graduate in wildlife, but she was at the University of Georgia working on her master's in hen turkeys.
I see.
But guess what? Never hunted.
No kidding.
Really?
Never hunted. She had gone through a learn to hunt with Charles Evans down there. And he said, I think this would be it. So we reached out to her. When we told her what we were going to do, I said, hey, look, we would love to take you out. She wanted to do more and wanted to take you out on a turkey hunt. So she said, absolutely. So I reached back out to get the industry involved, reached out to Primos, talked to Troy over there, and Troy and Jimmy Primos came down. We put them together, and they hunted together. So we had the industry in this. So long story short, we took her hunting, but then we've also sat back down and said, now – let's track tracking the new hunter and that process, and use it as a YouTube video where people can go, wow, look what she's doing now.
Right.
Look what she just did.
Yep.
So that concept's there.
I think that's real important. Because that goes back to what you were talking about with, like, that the retention aspect of things. Like, you can start to see the maturation of a hunter as it goes firsthand, you know, from going out there for your first time and then starting to learn to do things on your own and then becoming a mentor yourself, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, all of us remember growing up, we didn't know nothing about this stuff at first. I mean, we can shoot turkeys now, but I mean, this is 25 years later. You
exactly.
know, I mean, there's a long period of time there. There's a lot of learning and stuff that goes into it. And yeah, I think people don't mind to see you fail when you go out there and hunt. That's the thing with our videos. A lot of times we go out on public land. We don't kill anything.
Absolutely.
We have a blast, man. It is so much fun. And you know how it is. I mean, that's part of it. But I think they seem to relate to that.
They do. Yeah. And, I mean, you've got to, you know, a new hunter comes in. I've seen this, guys. Some of these folks come in and hunt with us, and let's say they don't see a deer, and then they're like, oh, I don't want to do this
right.
anymore. And I'm like, you know.
That's why you say that turkey hunting and small game and stuff, man, that's important because that keeps the attention span.
You've got to. You've got to have something else besides one specific thing. And, you know, we all sit in a deer stand, and it can be, you know, you can't move, you can't do this, unless you're in one of those big, nice redneck stands, and we do have a couple of those there. But, it's an experience. And I tell them, I said, man, it's not just about pulling the trigger and tagging. It's about everything that goes on out there.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way you're going to retain folks is you've got to make it fun and offer up different opportunities.
You know, come to think of it, though, that's how I grew up hunting. I started out hunting rabbits.
Yeah,
when I was a kid, and then went on to eventually shoot a deer, but that was after multiple rabbit hunts and squirrel hunts and a quail hunt and a turkey hunt and a duck hunt. And then I got a deer rifle.
That's right.
You know, and that was by the age of 11, you know, but at that time I'd already been in the woods for like 5 years, so it was already ingrained. Yeah. And I'm sure that's different from, you know, going from kids to an adult. You know, I mean, the patience level of an adult is much different than a 10-year-old.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's funny you say that. We, you know, had the Federal Youth Waterfowl Day 1st of February, and we took some this is unbelievable. We had 12 kids on our impoundment, and then the adjacent one, I think a total of 19 kids out there hunting with their parents. A lot of the parents came along, and I know I had two young men and their dad. The dad loved it. I mean, it was just so cool. And then I said, are you ready to host it? Oh, absolutely. But it's a different mentality from the kid to the adult and how you do it. Yeah, the kids will go, okay. And, you know, they shot up boxes of shells and probably didn't cut a feather, but they're ready to come shoot again.
Yeah.
You know, the parents might be, I don't know about all this, but they watched their kids and enjoyed it. So I think for me, that's kind of been the icing on the cake to what we do.
Absolutely.
You talked about growing up rabbit hunting. Well, I grew up rabbit hunting, and then I thought, well, let's squirrel hunt. Let's try that. You know, there's still, you know, I don't do it as much anymore. I try to hunt when I can, but I'm so busy doing this.
Yeah.
So it takes up a lot of my time.
That's right. And, I mean, as far as people in a, you know, in an urban setting or subdivision or whatever, that's kind of the thing where I think we've made some progress. We've already touched on it some, but just to kind of tie a bow around it, like if you were a hunter 10, 15 years ago, you might take your neighbor's kid out hunting, you
that's
know,
right.
during youth season or something. But, I mean, we've all seen it. If you take your neighbors out, like the parents with their kid, like a father and son, whatever it is, you take them out, both of them get to experience it, and then before you know it, a couple months go by, and they're sending you pictures on their own.
Absolutely.
You know, from the woods, where they're going out and doing it, because you involved them both.
Yep, absolutely. A good prime example, guys, our second R3 hunt that we did last year, that outfitter, we reached out to an outfitter that in southern Illinois, Matt Duffy in the Country Lodge. I don't know if you know him. Reached out to Matt to do a turkey hunt. So we found just exactly what you were just talking about. Guy was from Chicago, inner city, lived in the city, wanted to try hunting. He went through the learn to hunt process up there with Illinois R3 coordinator. We invited him down, took him on a turkey hunt, harvested his first turkey. That was in the spring of 19. Fall of 19, he has his daughter there at the lodge on a youth deer hunt.
Excellent.
So there you go.
Perfect.
And I keep up with him now. We text and talk back and forth, and he lets me know what, and I see pictures on social media of him and his family out. They went on a squirrel hunt together. That's exactly it. And you're talking about folks inside the city, Chicago of all places.
Yeah.
And he said he was, his neighbors are now seeing this. I read his post on Facebook, and his neighbor's like, where did you do that? That's so cool.
Yeah, we talk about it all the time. It's like 80, 90. I don't know what Hank Forrester was giving me some, you know, QDMA. He's giving me some statistics. But the majority of the American public approves of hunting.
Yes, for food. They do. Mm-hmm. For food.
Know? Yeah.
The old days of grin and grab are over. It's about putting it in the freezer.
Yeah, that's right. And that's what it was about in the beginning.
Yep.
You know, it's kind of like full circle.
Hopefully these people, like just – this guy you were talking about from Chicago, you know, hopefully they get the idea that, you know, by showing what they're doing, they're, you know, showing their excitement that they can get other people involved, get neighbors and other family members involved, and that they can help influence and, you know, be a part of bringing more hunters in.
Yeah, and he has. It's amazing. You know, he'll send me little notes about his neighbors going into a learn to hunt class now. And, you know, that's how this process ends up. This is what you want to do from our side of what we're doing. You know, I can't encourage people to, you know, don't just sit back and think, it's not, there's not a problem. You know, if I had to
that's the thing we're always talking about. It's like, because you see it on social media and, you know, comments on YouTube videos. It's like, well, where I live and blah, 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 there's hunters everywhere, you know, on the public land. And it's like, man, you might see more hunters in your one little spot than you have before, but I can assure you the across – you know, all these different states and all these different places, the arrow's pointing down. And it's getting steeper, you know.
You know, when
you just can't have that mentality anymore.
No, and, you know, you guys, we've been sitting here talking about, you know, what we did when we were growing up, and that mentality is kind of, you know, out there, because we learned yesterday in a couple, you know, we got our conservation conference, they're talking about R3, we had a fellow here from NSSF, and he was talking about, Jim was talking about, they want to learn. They want, there's interest in it. They put two folks up there, a man and a woman, that had never, just started this 2 years ago. And the lady was a hiker. She said, they asked her, said, well, do you hike now? Oh, you know, to see wildlife. Oh, no, I hunt to see wildlife now. That's what she said. Nice. So her, and she was passing it down to her grandchildren and her neighbors. And I asked her yesterday, I said, well, since you've done this in 2 years, what about your friends? What's their, oh, they're interested. She stood in front of the whole crowd. She said, people are interested, but we've got to get people to take them and experience it.
Yep. Yep. That's right.
And if we're not doing that, guys, you know, give it 30 years down the road, whether we're still here or not, you know, hunting may be a thing of the past.
Yep.
It's not just about the hunt. It's about the resource, man. We've got to preserve our wildlife, our habitat, and that's what we're all about at NWTF. We're about save the habitat, save the hunt.
Right.
And it takes everybody, not just the agencies, but the hunters, the industry. You know, I think it's great what you guys are doing, you know, getting the word out there. Hunting public, you know, and people are looking, you know, that's the next step for these hunters, public hunting ground, access. Where do I go next?
Yeah. Yep.
So,
well, I think a lot, like the most commonly asked question whenever we talk to those people that are apprehensive about sharing their spot or whatever, that they say there's too many people in the woods already, you know, it's like, guys, if you think about the bigger picture here, this can benefit you in the long term, maybe even the short term. Because if you that's why everybody's always asking us, like, we promote public land hunting and stuff, and they're like, aren't y'all worried that people are going to find your spots by filming them and then be in there? It's like, it's not our spot, it's everybody's. Everybody's paying for it. But, you know, if you create more interest in, you know, everybody has kind of a shared goal in mind, that's just that's going to create more dollars, it's going to create more funding for these areas, it's going to create more manpower.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you'll see it continue to improve over time. Before you know it, I mean, you may have more opportunities to hunt as interest goes up.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, but if hunting interest goes down, then we lose our footing in, you know, politics. We lose our funding.
That's right.
We lose our ability to manage wildlife.
That's right.
And hunters are the champions of that. That's where, I mean, every license that you buy, that's lot of that money is going right back into the food plot that's going in on the public land down the road.
That's right.
Or the or paying the guy that's doing it. You know,
it's, you know, those funds you just mentioned. It was this morning in the Save the Habitat breakfast. We had a lady from U.S. Fish and Wildlife that works for the secretary there, and she said that, you know, our President Trump had just signed and gave all this funding to open up all these refuges and public access for people to get in there and opportunities for them to hunt,
right,
which we've never had.
Right.
And I think that's very key to where we are now, and we've got to have that, you know, but it takes – that funds from buying a license to go support these things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, public land hunting, it's like you said, you know, people, oh, well, you're going to show them your spot. You're going to video where you are. And I'm like, you know, if you're at this point in the game, somebody asked me about one of the biggest questions that comes back, and this refers back to why I'm sharing my hunting spot. We were asked yesterday, I can't find people to mentor. That's hard for me to swallow when I'm sitting in there.
Yeah.
Well, what? And, you know, for us, think about it on the inside. You grew up, and if you're like us, if grown up with hunting and outdoors, there's got to be a sense of passion inside to share it. And I don't care. It's just like the private landowners. You know, I'll tell them, I'll say, hey, look, these guys have never hunted. They shoot whatever they want. You know, if a 150-inch deer walks out, they're going to be thrilled at that person. I'm going to be thrilled. I've done enough of it, you know. Good Lord willing, I'll be on to do this a few more years.
Yeah.
But I want to pass it on. I want to, you know, it's just like if I had to share my hunting spot, I say, hey, man, go right here. You go right here. Or what you guys are doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's the mentality that the hunting generation needs to take. It's not giving up a bird. It's, you know, I go and look at a lot of things on social media. It's, you know, we have people talking about, you know, how many turkeys they killed. It's not about the numbers, guys. It's about sharing the experience with people. Or we're going to be, and we are a dying breed.
Right.
You're going to see it dissipate. So sharing your hunt spot, man, think about what you're doing. You're motivating the next generation 50 years from now to make sure this stuff's going on.
Yeah, there's lots of opportunity out there. There's lots of wildlife. There's lots of game. And everywhere we go, people will say, you know, this is the most heavily pressured public land with the fewest turkeys and the fewest deer, and then you get out there and it's like, yeah, there's other people around, but there's also a bunch of deer too.
Yeah, we have to get out of that mode of, hey, I'll have to blindfold you to take you to my spot.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, some areas are inherently tougher to hunt.
They
public
are.
Lands are, but I mean, we went to Michigan last year for the,
you
know, public
everywhere.
Land hunting. You know, that's a notoriously difficult state. You know, come to Michigan and try to hunt public land, and we had a great hunt there.
Wow.
Well, people are saying it's difficult because there's not as many big bucks in Michigan.
Right.
But there's deer everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I've not, like, we live in Iowa.
Right.
And we don't see that many deer in Iowa.
Wow.
As we saw in Michigan, just driving around at night. Like, they're everywhere. Now, it's a lot of younger bucks and antlerless deer and whatnot. But that's the point, is it's like there's a bunch of people here that are interested in hunting. There's a huge resource. There's all these deer running around. Like, man.
And keep in mind, you know, we talked about it earlier, this new generation of hunter is about the food.
You're right.
They're going to be happy popping a big doe.
Yeah, they get taught how to use a crossbow and get to go out there and sit on a 5-gallon bucket and shoot a doe, and it's going to make
And they're thrilled.
Yeah, they're thrilled.
You know.
And you got a hunter right there.
And, you know, they're not worried about the antlers. To them, it's something to drag it out with.
Yeah. That's right.
You know.
Yeah, the hunter of the future may look much differently than – you know, the hunter of today.
Exactly.
And just like the hunter of today looks somewhat differently than the hunter of 30 years ago.
Yep. Yep. You know, we were all about, oh, man, we need to let him go, let him grow.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's QDMAs. And, you know, a lot of social media, I'm sure Hank talked about this, and I just did one of our writers back, they were doing an article on, you know, posting on social media, how the hunting group should post on social media.
Mm-hmm.
So with this new generation of hunter, I see it all the time. Maybe you guys do too. You know, people will, you know, a new hunter shoots a young buck, their first deer. But then you get people on there that are hammering them about, oh, if you let it go, let it go. It's not about that anymore.
No,
it's about their experience of harvesting a deer. And you'll see, my freezer's stocked. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to start cooking.
Yeah, you know? You see more and more people, if you see that particular comment pop up where somebody's, you know, antler shaming or whatever,
yeah.
you'll see people crawl all over. Mm-hmm.
And that's what and you need to do. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
They'll be like, hey, man, we're happy for this other person that's harvested this animal because that's what it's about.
It doesn't need to descend into the, you know, this nasty fighting on the internet.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think people need to hear that.
They do.
And you'll see that nasty. And I'm like, guys, you know, other people, the non-hunting public is what's watching us.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Because that's our global communication platform to talk to all of them.
And we got to be smart about what we say, how we picture animals on there, you know, respecting what you show. You know, you guys have been in the video and business. I've been there. You know, it's how you present the animal with a lot of respect. Mm-hmm. But this, like you said, Michigan, wow, man, come to South Carolina. You know, we open up August the 15th, and they're running around down there like flies.
Yeah. Yep.
And, you know, I was asked about the Federation. Do you manage the deer on the Federation? I said, no. This is opportunity for someone to harvest their first deer. And, you know, I'll talk to them a little bit about the yearling deer, the button bucks. But so many times, you know how it is. The first deer to show up in a food plot is a yearling deer. The deer shows up. Mm-hmm. They bust the cap, and next thing you know, they're up there. They're just as thrilled as they can be.
Yeah.
The thing about it is that's their first deer. Don't say nothing. Mm-hmm. And I've had a couple of incidences where I've had to say something to somebody. I said, no, man, don't do that.
Right.
I had a – it's funny. I love to tell this story. A couple of years ago, we had the college group from Clemson. And, you know, folks listening, you know, you need to pay attention. This is what we're dealing with. The guy was an international. We had international students hoping that they were going to stay in the States and hunt. Guy came the first hunt, blue jeans, Converse tennis shoes, some kind of T-shirt, no camo. He didn't harvest a deer. I invited him back for the second hunt. Oh, he done been at Walmart, had his mossy oak on.
Yeah.
He asked me. I said, yes, sir, you're good to go. Put him in a deer stand. You know, he shoots a yearling doe for the first time. He was so happy.
Awesome.
And I was happy for him. And he was just all excited about taking that deer home and processing and going through the process of putting it on the plate. That's where we have to be thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And you said Michigan, man, yeah.
Yeah.
All that public land. And, you know, we have it in South Carolina, and that's where they're going to be looking.
Yeah.
I just hope folks adhere to that. You know, the turkey season's coming around. You know, Jake Turkey, a gobbler's a gobbler. And, you know.
Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, then they get your heart pumping.
And all that,
especially if you're a new hunter, like as soon as you get one of them suckers coming in on you, whether you've got a little cigar butt beard or a long swinging beard, it don't matter. You're getting.
If he gobbles, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, I will say that's what's great about my job at NWTF and doing what I get to do. You take one of these guys out or ladies out for the first time, and that turkey – you know, rips one off. I remember the guy looked at me, his eyes were about this big.
Yeah.
He said, wow. And I said, yeah. I said,
he's like, now you understand why I come out here at 4 in the morning.
Yeah, 4 in the morning. I said, well, if he gobbles, that's the hunt. I said, the icing on the cake is if we put the tag on him.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's all about it. So, you know, if people are listening, I would encourage them, you know, you've got to think in that state of mind. Think about the groups that you're targeting.
Yeah. If you're already hunting, just think about your state of mind when you started hunting.
Exactly.
Like, think about what your expectations were then. You know, it's just, you've already, that's the thing I'm always telling people is like, you've already had this perspective in your life. Just kind of revert back to that because that's what they're going through and that's what you want to try to help them with. You know, it's not teaching them all this advanced tactics stuff and everything that you know now after 20 years of hunting.
Right.
It's like, man, do you remember your first deer that you shot? Or do you remember your first hunt that you went on?
That's right.
Yeah, that excitement that you had.
And so just like that guy, his first time, he was so excited.
Yeah.
I don't think he saw any deer, but he was, you know, he comes back in camo.
Right.
He harvests the first. So now he's, here we go, and you're right.
That's pretty cool.
But.
Well, Travis, we'll let you get back in the show, man. We got to get in there and start working because I've got a feeling there's going to be a lot of people showing up here pretty soon this afternoon.
Oh, yeah, man. It's you know, first full day of it. You know, we're here today, here tomorrow. a lot of good companies down there on the floor, a lot of opportunity. You know, you got the calling contest today. We've got a lot of good seminars going on. You know, folks are coming, you know, and want to learn more about how to become a mentor, how to get involved in hunting. You know, we're always here. My door's always open. My phone line's open. You know, you can contact us at NWTF. You can ask for me, any of the Hunting Heritage team there. I'll be glad to talk to you and answer questions. Go to nwtf.org if you need some of these resources. We'll be here tomorrow talking about mentoring. And, you know, I appreciate you guys giving me the opportunity to come talk
about
it.
Hey, man.
We appreciate what you do.
Yeah, I know how hard you work. I've seen it firsthand. I know, I mean, and there's a lot of people like that at the Federation. So reach out to them, and they can help you.
Hey, if we can do it, guys, love to have you down, let you go through a mentored hunt with us, or if we've got one going close to you guys, absolutely love to have you guys there to capture it, capture the moment.
I miss doing mentored hunts. I used to do deer and turkey mentored hunts back in Nebraska. They have a really good youth mentor program, but did that for a number of years and really missed that.
It is. Well, awesome, guys. Thank you again for letting me come
Thanks, Travis.
Have a great day.